Okay, well, welcome. And I want to thank you for joining me tonight. I'm Jonathan Asley of Understand Men Now. And tonight, I'm doing one of the favorite things I love to do on a Wednesday night. This is a teleclass. It's usually for my Angel membership, my private membership group, and I'm opening it up to all the people that are part of my email community to join in and listen on our monthly group coaching call and teleclasses that we host for my private membership group. Tonight's call is called His Hero's Journey to Commitment. And it's something I often talk about in my coaching to my clients, to my Angel membership. This is a huge aspect of my coaching program and also part of my book, which is The Relationships Men Commit to and Why. And I think when you get a better understanding of what men go through throughout their life, it helps you understand where they're coming from when it comes to love, romance, relationship, commitment, sex, all those sorts of things. Because the reality is, and myself and everyone on this call, I'm sure we all want attention, affection, companionships, regular intimacy. And we're all craving and thirsty for it. I don't think you'd be on this call if you didn't. And there's a challenge between having that and being ready and responsible for a long-term committed relationship. So when it comes to the male perspective, I saw a movie recently called Finding Joe. And it's about the American scholar Joseph Campbell. And he found a pattern in all stories called the hero's journey. It appears in every drama, storytelling, myth, religious ritual, psychological development. It describes the typical adventures of the archetype known as the hero, the person who goes out and achieves great deeds on behalf of a group, tribe, or civilization. So I'm going to highlight a little bit of this because I thought this would give you a good basis for what my call is going to be about. And I think you could recognize this in almost every movie that you've ever seen, that a person goes through a hero's journey, whether it's a man or a woman. One of the movies that it's most prominently talked about is the movie Star Wars, and how Luke Skywalker goes through his evolution of going from a boy to a man. And I think that's one of the challenges most men face today, is that there, in today's world, there isn't the same ritualistic obstacles men go through to shift from boyhood to manhood. So what Joseph Campbell talked about, and here's the stages, and I'd like you to write this down. I'll just give you each one briefly. The first stage is called the ordinary world. The hero is uneasy, uncomfortable, unaware, is introduced sympathetically to the audience, and can be identified with a situation or dilemma. That's the first stage. And again, I'm giving you the brief outline of this. Second stage is the call to adventure. Something shakes up the situation, either from external pressures or from something rising up from deep within, so the hero must face the beginning of the change, okay? The next is the refusal of the call. The hero feels the fear of the unknown and tries to turn away from the adventure, however briefly. Alternatively, another character may express the uncertainty and danger of ahead. Okay? Next is meeting the mentor. The hero comes across a seasoned traveler of his world into his world who gives him or her the training, equipment, or device to help them on their journey. Next is crossing the threshold. At the end of Act One, the hero commits to leaving the ordinary world and entering a new region or condition with unfamiliar rules and values. Okay? Next is the test, allies, and enemies. This is the hero is tested from all sorts of allegiances in the special world. Next is the approach. The hero and the newfound allies prepare for major challenge in the special world. Next is the ordeal. Near the middle of the story, the hero enters a central space in a special world and confronts death or faces her greatest fears. Now we're coming close to this. There's only a few more left. Next is the reward. The hero takes possession of the treasure won by facing death and there may be celebration. There's also danger of losing the treasure again. Next is the road back. The road, three-fourths of the way through the story, the hero is driven completely, complete the adventure, leaving the special world to be sure the treasure is brought home. Number 11, we're almost there, the resurrection. At the climax of the hero's journey, he's severely tested one more time on a threshold of coming home. He or she is purified by the last sacrifice, another moment of death, rebirth, but a higher and more complete level. Actually, I was just thinking of Wizard of Oz while I was reading that. And lastly, the return with the elixir. The hero returns home or continues the journey bearing some element or treasure that the power has transformed the world and the hero has been transformed. Now, I know that took a few minutes to explain, but I just wanted to give you some background of what Joseph Campbell talked about in The Hero's Journey. And a few days ago, one of my Facebook friends sent me a quote that I want to share before I get started on this part of the call. And that is, she wrote to me and she said, "The hero's journey is something I've kind of felt in my heart that men should go through, but never knew how to put it in words and didn't want to put the sole responsibility on men. But there is something so very missing in men today. I'm definitely not a man hater. I do adore men. I just felt such a heartache about something that was missing, but I didn't know what it was." And I think what she was trying to tell me is that, you know, men are going through huge, how should I say this? And I'm in the United States, so I can think from my, you know, here in the United States, that a huge crisis of consciousness, especially in men over 40. We've gone through huge changes in the last 50 years. In fact, one of my recent Facebook posts, I made the comment that in the last few years, over 8 million men have lost their jobs, and now women represent well over 50% of the workforce. And if I can share with you the importance of this, you know, men identify themselves with their professional life, and that is shifting so dramatically. Now, on the one hand, it's fantastic for women. I totally applaud and I want to encourage that we all need to be able to take care of ourselves. But what's happening is there's a huge shift for men, especially men over 50. Men over 50 these days are becoming obsolete professionally, and they're having to reinvent themselves, and they're absolutely lost. I have a group of well over 100 male friends that were in the mortgage industry. And when the mortgage industry collapsed several years ago, they literally have found themselves so lost and haven't been able to get back to even remotely near where they were professionally from a financial perspective. Some men I know of have committed suicide. Some have gone into depression. Some have gone into alcohol. And then there are a few that have risen up, those men that have gone through the pit of despair and have risen through their own hero's journey. So let me just, I'm going to share with you an article I recently wrote called The Awakened Man and His Hero's Journey. And if you've ever been in a relationship for any length of time, you'd agree with me that there can be many areas of conflict, okay? One of the most frequent fields of concern is lack of intimacy between men and women. Unfortunately, women have been conditioned not even to think twice of chasing after a man who has poor relational skills. They absolve men for shutting them out, holding them at a distance. They even put up with abuses and excuses for their behavior. They hang on to workaholics that don't seem to recognize that these men are relationally incompetent at navigating love relationships. Now, I believe the current problem men and women experience in relationships have something to do with the lack of hero's journey, which I talked about earlier. And one of the things that would help men be more relational and create happier relationships would be undertaking this hero's journey. And by the way, a little bit later, I'm going to share with you my own personal experience. Okay. Now, let's just for a moment take a look at the single man. Okay. This is the man who's never been married, is currently single. For the single man who seems to keep missing the mark when it comes to attaining relational success, the hero's journey might not even seem appealing to him at first. But when he realizes that intimacy has escaped him yet once again, and he's at least partially responsible for the demise of another relationship, his eyes will begin to open. Did you hear that? His eyes will begin to open. When he's had one failure after another, there's going to be a moment when that man wakes up. Now, oftentimes, I've talked to women who said, I'll never date a man over 45 who's never been married, because they're not going to be relational. They're commitment phobes. And I got to tell you, from a personal experience, I have a number of male friends who have recently gotten married well into their 40s because they got tired of living that bachelor life, that player's life. They finally got to a point where they wanted to not settle, but to settle down, to nest, okay? And in this particular case, a couple of those men I've spoken to have absolutely gone through their hero's journey. They've conquered mountains of self-doubt and confusion. They've assailed themselves and elated themselves in their self-deception. And this is a great season for these types of men that will endure, and they know the status quo will no longer allow them to attain, that will no longer allow them to attain the prize, okay? And these men want to be loved. Without making the necessary changes, this man will dwell in defeat, okay? This is the juncture in which he digs deep to discover that the love contained within his soul. And in this moment, he'll learn that this is the moment to learn what he's never learned from men who have surrounded by him. And let me just stop for a moment. Say, one of the challenges that men face is that men today aren't raised by men anymore in many cases, unlike when we lived in fields, for example, and we went out and farmed with our fathers out in the workforce. We spent time with, let's say, even in the Indian culture, where you're going out on the hunt with other men. Today, men aren't as prevalent in young boys' lives, and they're not going through this rite of initiation. So that's one of the hugest challenges we men face. It used to be that you'd go into the military as a way of your initiation from boyhood to manhood. And that's not what's happened in the last 50 years. Men haven't really been, I'm generalizing here for a moment, because I want to say that there are plenty of fathers who are actively involved in their boys' lives and whatnot, but there has been a huge shift. Okay, since the divorce rate began to increase in the 60s and single mothers are taking care of boys, they're not getting initiated into manhood the way they once were 100 thousands of years ago. Okay, so I just touched upon the single man, and I want to spend a moment and talk about the men who go through the hero's journey that are already in committed relationship. Now, just because a man may be married or in a relationship, we all know that does not mean he's happy, nor does it mean his woman is satisfied. The woman, if there is strife or struggle, he needs to be prepared to indulge in his own hero's journey. The woman's role in this relationship is critical. She'll want to create a balance between encouraging her man to take the journey and allowing herself to become the much sought after prize. Critical comments and nagging won't cut it. Allowing him to continue his poor behavior won't help. Falling around like a faithful puppy dog won't inspire him to change. But when a woman decides that she'll let him take the journey or become the hero, then she'll learn how to be the prize at the end of his quest, and she will be on the right track. When a guy thinks he's got you, no matter what, you lose value in his eyes. I want to repeat that. When a guy thinks he's got you no matter what, you lose value in his eyes. This is so important to internally set your own high standards. And it's not about just the man. This is about the we in a relationship. So if you're easily apprehended by him, you'll be easily tossed aside. Maybe not physically, but emotionally for sure. There's nothing worse for a woman who craves intimacy and instead gets ignored. If a man you love has not gone through his own hero's journey before you two connect, know that he will need to go through this to attain the levels of intimacy you desire. The only difference between a single man's journey and a committed man's journey is that your passion, acceptance, and love is his reward. You are the prize he must win. With that said, I want to say that this isn't just about you. Men have to do the work. And I think if you're in a relationship with a man who has not done some sort of personal growth work, has gone to therapy, is at least actively trying to improve upon himself, then he's not truly on his hero's journey. And again, you know, we men don't necessarily think about it in these terms. It's just something that happens to us. I just happened to be writing about this because, I saw the movie recently, Finding Joe, which was about Joseph Campbell. So I want to take a moment to share my personal story because I had a few people email me about what was this all about and how this all, you know, how this really came about. Why did I want to write about this? And after turning 40 and going through a divorce back in 2005, I found myself absolutely lost. I went from living in a big home with a wife and children to moving into a resident inn with a refrigerator the size of a shoebox and a microwave to cook meals. Now, I came from a family where my parents will be married 60 years this December. So in a few months, they'll be married 60 years. I came from that nuclear type family, you know, 2.3 kids. Well, actually, I had a brother and a sister, and a middle class home. And my idea was to, my parents said, you have to go to college, you go get a job, you meet a girl, you buy a house, you meet a girl, get married, buy a house, start a family. That was my programming. I so wasn't prepared for relationship. I just know what I was programmed to do. So I followed the programming, met someone who kind of fit. We were compatible in a way, but we really weren't in love with each other as I look back now, and we so weren't a right fit for each other. But I was programmed to stay in this relationship, and that all changed when we went through a divorce. And I went through the deepest, lowest part of my life during that period of time. I absolutely hit the pit of despair because I found my whole world changed. Now, what made matters worse for me is my company was going through a total reorganization and they laid off a majority of the workforce. So not only did I go through a divorce, literally within 3 months, my whole company changed the operation and laid so many people off. And I found myself even more and more depressed. I'm going to tell you the truth. You know how I soothed myself? I started internet dating. I was so empty, so lonely. I felt like I needed to, you know, fill that void. And what was I doing? I was internet dating like I was on steroids. I was a serial dater. I pulled out my laptop in this little resident inn. I started instant messaging, communicating with women. But what happened during this, and this is part of my story, is during these conversations, chats, dates, I befriended a number of women. We started to get to know one another. We shared our experience, and I became fascinated with why some relationships work, and so many end. And I developed these amazing friendships. These are women I'd never met. I'd be talking to women all over the world. This was just a way to fill my void. And yes, I went on a lot of dates along the way, and I was so not ready for a relationship. In fact, one girl I dated 9 months after my divorce, she said, Jonathan, I think you're great, but I have to date you with rose-colored glasses because I know you're not ready for a committed relationship. And she was so right. Well, along my trek, I made so many friends, they'd call me up and say, hey, Jonathan, I've got this date with so-and-so. Will you check out his match.com profile and tell me what you think? So I'd log on, check out his profile, and I'd say something like, okay, I noticed this, 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 and this. And they go to me, Jonathan, I've been talking to this man for a week. He's nothing like you described. I say, go on the date and tell me what happens. Sure enough, they go on the date. I get the frantic text message the minute the car door closes. Jonathan, can you talk? I'm like, okay. And they go, Jonathan, you were exactly right. He was exactly the way you described. Now, friends, this wasn't happening once. This was happening over and over again. And I found myself, just like the FBI have profilers for serial killers, I could profile serial daters, serial monogamists, bad boys, nice guys, the whole gamut. And pretty soon, I'd have women asking me to coach and ask for advice, and I'd start coaching. And everyone said, well, you need to write a book. So I wrote a book called Online Dating Secrets Are Revealed, and it's just some of the basics of what I see within online dating. And then I trudged along, had a few relationships, met someone about 4 years ago that I was crazy about, absolutely in love, but I really wasn't in love. I was chemically in love. if we talk about chemistry, oftentimes we talk about chemistry, communication, and compatibility. Chemistry is chemical. And so when we think we're in love, oftentimes if it seems like this desperate love, it's chemical love. I was absolutely chemically bonded to this woman. And that, as soon as our relationship ended, that messed me up even more. I went even further in the pit of despair. In fact, I didn't come out of my cave for months. I was so depressed. But little by little, I kept creeping out. Again, this is part of the hero's journey, is you're going to go through that pit of despair. And what happened is I had a lot of magical helpers along the way. I had so many great friends that would help me, and they were encouraging me. In fact, one of them said, Jonathan, you're a natural to coach women about understanding men. And this, about 3 years ago, I was encouraged to really take this from a hobby into something professional. And I cannot, I have to say her name out loud, Michelle, thank you so much for encouraging me. She was the first one who really pushed me to get this started. And along the way, I've had a number of magical helpers, which is part of the hero's journey. In fact, few of those helpers are on the call now. I said hello to one of them this earlier. I just want to acknowledge her. But again, that's part of a man's hero's journey, is to go through those tough times and persevere and fight through. So along my way, I knew I wanted relationship. I wanted attention, affection, companionship, and intimacy. And I put it out there. Now, I'm a little bit different because I'm communicative. Oftentimes, I'm told I talk like a chick. And that just means I'm communicative. But I set an intention for myself. I reached a point where I knew I wanted a relationship. So I wrote an actual love mantra for myself. And I'm going to share some highlights to the group. And that will kind of conclude my part of my story. But I wrote the following. I called it, "My True Love Has Arrived." I said, and this was my mantra. I said, "We feel amazing and excited to be with each other because we're immensely physically attracted to and adore one another equally. The chemistry between us feels so amazing and the sensation feels wonderful. We feel wonderful because our communication flows freely and effortlessly, and we're truly best friends, and the conversations feel equal and effortless or endless, carrying on for hours and hours. We feel great because we're truly compatible in every sense of the word, and we appreciate each other's gifts in life, and we're accepting of each other's imperfections. We feel fabulous because we found a partner in life who is truly ready, willing, and able to begin and grow a long-term relationship with commitment. We just know we're right for each other. We feel amazing passion for one another, and our intimacy, now this is going to be personal, but I'll say it out loud, our intimacy and sexual performance is over the top compatible where we exceed each other's expectations. We feel wonderful because we both come up from our place within our hearts of integrity, honesty, respect, and cherishing one another. And we feel so absolutely speechless and exhilarated when we meet, and we'll just know we were meant to be together." I wrote that almost a year ago, about October 31st of last year. I put that out to the universe. I wrote my mantra. I kept saying it over and over and over again because I knew I wanted a relationship. Within 38 days of writing that, I connected with my beloved on Facebook. We became Facebook friends. We emailed each other a few times because we had some common interests. We even talked on the phone. She was in a relationship, unfortunately, or she had just ended a relationship. And I go, dang, because I had this big crush on her. I said, dang, I'm going to have to wait. And sure enough, I knew she'd be on, for whatever reason, intuitively, I knew she'd be on Match.com. And sure enough, about a month after that, I saw her on Match.com. I emailed her, told her I had a big crush. She said, "I'd be a better big sister than I would be your girlfriend." I said, "That's not good enough." And 83 days after I wrote my love mantra, we had our first date, and we've been together ever since. And so I encourage you, this is kind of a off subject of the call, but I encourage everyone to create their own love mantra if you're looking for love, or at least for what you're looking for in your ideal relationship. Now, let me just say this as I kind of come to a close. Resolving past issues is not an easy process, to say the least. It takes willingness to be honest with yourself, to see what your life is not working. This can be incredibly painful, and you'll need to spend some dark times in the pit of despair, like I did. To stand up with integrity with your own transgressions towards others takes a lot of courage, and you have to be brutally honest with yourself. And this is for both men and women. But once you start down the path, the process, most will begin to see enough progress that they won't want to stop. Again, let me just say that. Once you get started and you start seeing shifts in your life that are positive, you're not going to want to stop. Because the people that don't see the positive are going to just even drift further down the pit of despair. And in that pit of despair could be alcohol, drugs, and a lot of other unhealthy things for yourself. I'm of the belief that we all have one or two major childhood issues to deal with in our formative years, and it's going to take time to resolve the biggest one, whether it's our mother, our father, something that happened in our lifetime or our childhood. But once you do, it begins a domino effect, and more you work on yourself, and more men do work on themselves, they become more relationship ready and commitment ready. Now, let me just say that we never lose. We still, our issues, our baggage, as I wrote on Facebook the other day, it's all going to be there. It's how we show up, how our actions match our words, that's going to shift this. And this is a lifelong healing process. So I just want to thank you for allowing me to share my personal story. And I'm at the half hour mark. So I'm sure you've got a lot of personal questions that you're going to ask. So if you'd like to ask a question, just hit *6 on your phone and I'll put you in queue so we can go into the Q&A section of our call. Now, as I said, I have a special announcement tonight, and that is for one person, I'm going to pick the telephone number right now. It's so if you hear your phone number, it's 510-292-9267. So it's 210-292-9267. And you're going to get a special something, a gift from me. And that's why I want to share with the group what I'm doing. For those of you who don't know, I have written a book called The Relationships Men Commit To and Why. And this is my signature book. This is the crux of my whole coaching program. And what I've decided to do is to put together a two-part e-course teleclass centered around the book. In this e-course, you'll discover the different types of categories of men and relationships and what each type offers you. You get the insights you need to know when a man could be the perfect match or when you should move on and keep looking. Either way, you'll have tools to make all the variables add up to your success. Now, if I told you I had a hidden secret about men and the types of relationships they choose, what would that be worth a couple hours of your time of a teleclass? So what I'm have part of the course is going to include men are not commitment phobic, what men want in relationship, how and why men fall in love, the types of available men, the love pie, men, sex, and commitment. So if you got your pencil and paper handy, the dates for these calls, this two-part call series, is November 15th and 17th. It's going to be at 8 p.m. Eastern time, 5 p.m. Pacific time. The e-course is called The Relationships Men Commit To and Why, centered around a book, my book. What you'll get for this e-course is you're going to get a copy of my book and this two-part teleclass, which includes the Q&A section like what we're doing tonight. Now, normally something like this would go for $297, but I'm hosting this two-call series for $97. But for those who act before October 31st, you can join in on the call for $49, which includes a copy of my book, The Relationships Men Commit To and Why, the two-part call series. Again, that's if you sign up before October 31st. Now, I'm sure there might even be a few people on the call who already own my book. So guess what I'm doing for you? Since you already own it, you can get the book or you can get the e-course for $29.97. Okay, since you've already paid for the book, you can get the e-course for $29.97. And for those who don't have it, it's $49. That includes my book, my audio series, which includes conversations with Jonathan. And for example, it includes all my about five of my most popular teleclasses, including the one MoveOverMatch.com, Finding True Love on Facebook. That's where I met my beloved on Facebook. Now, I told you for one lucky caller, I was going to give away an e-course, but I'm also, for the next 20 people who call or sign up, okay, well, let me give you the URL. So write this down. It's understandmennow.com/e-course. So if you go to understandmennow.com/e-course, for the next 20 people sign up, you're going to get a complimentary 20-minute coaching session with me after the call series. And for everybody who signs up tonight, again, so for the first 20 who sign up, you're going to get a complimentary coaching session with me, a 20-minute coaching session. And for everybody who signs up tonight, I'm giving away part of my Love Mantra Workshop kit, which includes what's called Preparing for Love, which includes a core value assessment and an ideal relationship report. I normally charge $97 for these two. So for everyone who signs up tonight, that's understandmennow.com/e-course. Go in and you can get my Preparing for Love workbooks, which is a core value assessment, ideal relationship report. Well, we're going to get started with the Q&A. So again, hit *6 on your phone if you'd like to ask any questions. Just a reminder that the audio playback is property of Understand Men Now and JSA Communications, and all participants on the call waive their legal rights to the content. So again, if you'd like to jump in, hit *6 on your phone. And as I'm waiting, I want to thank you again for listening to The Hero's Journey. I did get some questions come in, so let me see if there's something happening here. So again, hit *6 on your phone. Okay. Well, I got a couple questions that came in, and since we've got some shy people, or there's something wrong with the phones. But here's a question that came in. This is a long one, and this is going to take a few minutes for me to read out loud, but this came in. My boyfriend decided to take a break from a 2-year relationship, saying he needed time to focus on himself, personal growth, his work, and he doesn't have time and responsibilities for a relationship, as he implies. He still texts me, however, gets together with me from time to time, passes by my place to visit. He doesn't include me in any plans, his personal life, with his friends, going out, but he says he loves me and that I make him very happy. He loves the openness we have together. He trusts me a whole lot, counts on me, and is surprised at how good he feels when he's with me. Never has he felt like this before. Says that in the bedroom, no one will ever top me since I'm the best he's ever had. When he sees he is getting too close, he pulls away for a bit, disappears, then shows up again. Says he's not going out with anyone else, that he only calls me when he feels lonely. And as far as I know, he doesn't go out much. He's not a party dude. He's more of a stay-at-home type, more antisocial at times. He's very responsible and strict with his responsibilities regarding work. So my question, what am I supposed to think of this? Where do I stand? Should I pursue this or quit? Last thing he said a few times, comments is that if I managed to do certain things, he'd marry me. I didn't get my hopes up and took it lightly and told him in another occasion to not feel pressured by me I'm aware that I may not be the one that he's looking for. What should I do? Okay. This guy is a classic avoider. Okay. Avoiders like this set the pace and space of a relationship. Avoiders like control. This is the man, I talk about this in my book, he's in control, and I have what's called he's in control, she's in control. This is the guy, he's in control. They fear relationship. He's a classic scared man. In fact, there's a book called He's Scared, She's Scared. I highly recommend, if you haven't read it, it's called He's Scared, She's Scared. And the less of, now, here's what my recommendation would be. The less available she is, the more he'll come forward. This is what I tell women all the time. Give less or move on. She has to do the work of grieving and moving on. If he's really interested, he won't let go. He will pursue. But the dance will always exist. Now, let me repeat myself. If men have a habit of falling in love, not when we're with you, but when we're away from you. So I want to be clear in understanding that in this particular case, her best medicine is to just say no. Set boundaries and standards, but every time she says yes to him, she lets him, he's getting his cake, and he get the old adage, you know, having your cake and eat it too. Yet she's the one pining for him, and he's like, I'm just going to go to her whenever I feel like it. Now, since he's a classic avoider, and this probably has to do with a childhood wound that he has, you have to recognize that he has to come after you, but you have to show that you're worthy of it. If he gives you crumbs and you take it, what's he going to do? He's just going to treat you the way he has always been treating you. Set a higher standard for yourself, okay? Listen, I don't like to be the bad guy, but I want to say this over and over again. The higher standards you set for yourself when it comes to men, we will shape up, okay? Some men show up, you know, because they've gone through their hero's journey, ready for a relationship, but this man obviously hasn't. So I wouldn't put much stock into this man. Friends, I think there's something wrong with the mute button here, so I'm going to take it off for a second. If you hit mute on your phone, I'm just going to, and if anyone would like to stay on the line, I'm just going to take off the mute button for a second. And well, I'm sorry about that. It just seems to be a technical difficulty I'm having tonight with regard to the Q&A. Can anyone hear me now? It's still on. Well, once again, friends, I'm sorry about that. I do want to thank you so much for being on the call tonight. The call has been recorded and it's going to be sent to you. If you have any questions, because the Q&A didn't work out tonight, if you have any questions, please email me at just go to my website, hit the Understand Men Now, go to the contact button and feel free to ask me any question about tonight's call, either before or after you receive the audio. Once again, I want to encourage you to join me for my two-part teleseries starting on November 15th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time called The Relationships Men Commit to and Why. It's only $49 if you sign up before the 31st. And if you currently own my book, it's only $29.97. Again, just go to understandmennow.com/e-course. That's e-course. To get registered, and I look forward to having you join on the class. Once again, I'm truly sorry about the Q&A session. I don't know what happened, but I look forward to talking to you soon. Wishing you all a super fantastic evening.